Okay, let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 8 this morning. I know it's not what would be considered a classic Christmas passage, but it is something I think that will put our heart and mind in the right thought process when it comes to worshiping our Lord and Savior this Christmas morning. Psalms chapter number 8, going to just look at two verses to begin with, and then we're going to look at this thought, what is man? What is man? I think to really get a good idea and good picture of what it looks like to worship Christ at Christmas, we need to understand who we are and who he is, but why in the world he would come for someone like us. Why God would come to this world for someone like us. Sometimes we think pretty highly of ourselves, and sometimes we think there are some things that we're entitled to. Like people would say, well, of course he had to come. I mean, but that's not the case at all. You see here in Psalms chapter number 8, it, as we consider the heavens and the universe and our solar system, it humbles us. It moderates our pride and it promotes humility. Pride is one of the distinguishing characteristics of a weak man, or at least a sinful man, or an old sin nature. And has been one of the chief causes of contentions, causes of wars, causes of devastations. It's been the earmark of sin. And that's what it says here in verse number 3, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers. And as you take time, and I can see the psalmist out there just looking, as obviously a psalm of David here, looking out of the skies, maybe when he was in the wilderness running from Saul, maybe it's when he was there and watching the sheep, not sure exactly when it was happening. He says, but when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, meaning he has put them in place, he has created them and put them exactly where he wanted them. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? So he comes to the spot and says, what is man? Why is man so important, or what is so special about man that you would even consider him? He saw God for how great he was, and he said, why in the world would you spend time with us or even consider us? And not only does he take it a step farther, saying, why would you consider us? Why would you be mindful of us? He comes to the next spot and he says, that thou visiteth him. So why would God come to this world when he's God and we're who we are? Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the thought of the message permeates our minds and our hearts. Sometimes we've gotten to the spot that we think very highly of ourselves or be fairly highly of the human race. That's not the way the Bible describes it. Yes, we are loved. Yes, we are the crown of the creation, but we are man. We are made of dust. Yes, we are a living soul. At the same time, we are nothing compared to God, and we are rebellious, and we've rejected him in many ways. People in this world who hates God, but you loved us enough to come to this world. Lord, help us to let that sink in today. And as we leave this place, that we would respond with thankfulness, we would respond with submission, and that we would respond with worship. And that this Christmas season, unlike any other, and like each day from here on, we will recognize what really is man, that God would be mindful of us. Help us this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Many years ago, I think it was the theme, getting the right perspective or having the right vision or proper vision, whatever it was. And we put up there on the screen. I don't have it today. I thought about putting it up there, but it just wasn't going to work out today. But we showed the image of the Earth compared to the smaller planets. And the Earth looks pretty good size. But when you compare the Earth to the sun, it looks like it's a midget. The sun is 864,000 miles across. It is 100 times bigger in diameter than the Earth is. So, okay, the sun's bigger than us. We all knew that. Well, consider the universe. The sun is just an average-sized star. It is 100 times large. There are stars that are 100 times larger than the sun. And he's like, so what does that have to do with anything? Well, consider who we are. What is man? Consider that there is a universe out there, that there is a star out there that is 100 times bigger than our star, which is 100 times or that much bigger than ours. We are really, compared to the whole universe, just our Earth is just a little speck. And if you look it up and you compare, you look up images comparing the Earth to the other planets, you'll see that it's, you can't even see it on a scale. That's how small it is. You're like, okay. Well, then you consider on this planet, there's over 7 billion people, almost 8 billion people. So in this planet, we are just one of almost 8 billion people. And we don't look so big anymore, do we, compared to the universe, compared to God. Then you even take consideration that in the last 6,000 years, how many people have occupied this earth? You know, there is the question of, because what happened with the flood and the different how many people that they lived in Genesis and all those other things. Well, at a very small guesstimate, over 100 billion people. So on this earth, there have been over 100 billion people, and compared to the universe, we are just a little speck of dust compared to the larger stars. And it kind of puts perspective of when I consider those stars, when I consider the handiwork of God, when I consider all the things he's done, I don't even understand why God would care about one individual in the speck of the universe that is amongst 7.84 billion people, amongst over 100 billion people that have lived. I guess kind of helps us understand, maybe I ain't not as big as I think I am. Maybe I shouldn't try to be telling God what he should be doing. Maybe it's not something that I should be considering my rights and my this and my that, and just be thankful that God would even think of me. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He's saying, what is man that thou art mindful of me? He's like, when I consider the heavens, when I consider thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, he says, when I consider God, like we talked about last night, is all powerfulness, is all knowing, his love for us. When I consider God and I see his creation, it comes to the spot and says, I don't even understand why God would take time to consider me. Sometimes there's people in this world, and maybe we have a large net of friends and a large net of people that we know. There's sometimes people in that group that we say, I don't have anything to do with them. God doesn't say that. Now, he is God. He is different in the fact that he knows all things and he understands all things. But it's more than just that. Consider individually, we are just one human amongst over 7.5 billion in the world. Consider how many have lived in this world. And then you go to the point that you consider what man is like. There is nothing really pretty about man. We failed in the garden. That sin has been passed down to all generations. Mankind today, there is not many true worshipers of God. They've rebelled against God. They're made out of dust. Now, don't get me wrong. I know we are the crown of creation. I understand that he breathed life into us and that we're special in that idea because of what God did for us. But compared to creation and compared to the universe, we're just that little speck. And not only does God think about us, he loved us enough and thought about us enough to become one of those, however many that were living at that time, to become his creation, to be rejected by this world, to live and die and come amongst his own, and his own received him not. And it's a humbling thought in my mind as we come to a spot where sometimes people think that they're entitled and they deserve this and they deserve that. And I guess I'm reminded that what does the Bible say about us? We're supposed to humble ourselves. We're supposed to let the Almighty God that created the universe lift us up in his due time. But he resisteth the proud. He giveth more grace to the humble. One preacher put it this way. What is man that God should take notice of him? Is he not a clod of earth, a piece of clay? But consider him also as a sinful and unclean creature. And we may wonder to amazement what an unclean creature that God would even think on or should magnify him. Will the Lord indeed put value upon the filthiness and fix his approving eye upon an impure thing? Take it one step further. Consider the rebelliousness of man. Consider the fact that he is an enemy of God, according to the book of Romans, that God would magnify or God would come visit or God would consider even this creature. Will God prefer his enemies and magnify those who have cast him down? Will a prince exalt a traitor or give him honor on who attempts to take away his life? The sinful nature of man is an enemy to the nature of God. But the Bible says God is still mindful towards us. And I know it might be a little deep for this coming for on a Christmas morning, but I think if we could understand, really, when we came, God didn't get all that much. He loved us. He loved us that are made of dust. And what we sometimes he's like, no, it's got to be my way. It's got to be what I want. Don't care about anything else. Don't care about. That's his book. He wrote this book. And as we come to celebrate Christmas, I think to truly celebrate, we got to remind ourselves that when he came, it wasn't because we were good. It came because he loved us. All the answers the Holy Spirit gives concerning man are to humble man. Man is ready to flatter himself. Man is ready to flatter another person. But God plainly says what we are. We're sinners. But God loved the sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The exciting thing about Christmas and what causes us to want to worship him, that causes us that we want to say, hey, we should have come to church on Christmas morning. The reason why we should push worship at Christmas is because of who he is and how great he is and the creator of the universe. And when we consider how great the universe is and how many people we are, it's like we're just one little speck upon another speck of dust compared to everything else in this world. But he knows us. Amazing thing is he knows us by name. Not only does he know us by name, the Bible says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. He talks about his love toward us. He demonstrated his love toward us. Even though we are just one speck upon a great earth, upon and a great universe, it's just another little speck amongst so many billions of people. He cares and he takes notice for us. And that is the amazing thought of Christmas, is not only is he mindful of us, he thought enough of us and he loved us enough that he would leave the splendors of heaven to become that creation, to become sin for us, so we can know the righteousness of God. I mean, that's just amazing. But how often do we think about it that way? Often we think about, man, I'm thankful that the Lord came. We should. But sometimes we forget who he came for. He came for sinners. He didn't come for those that look good. He came for those who were rejecting him. The Bible says in Romans, the enemies of God. Romans 8:32 puts it in an interesting way. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He was willing to give up his own son. What is he not going to be also willing to give up? I think about the children in our church. I think about even the young adults. I think about my sons and thinking that who would I give my sons up for? I'd be willing to give my life for my sons if there was a choice between me going or them going. But God was willing to give up his own son. If I was willing to give up my son, I would definitely be willing to give up whatever's in my wallet. If I was willing to give up my son because of how precious they were, I'd be willing to do anything else for that same cause. And this is the picture there, that not only is God mindful, and this is what the psalmist is overwhelmed by. What is this? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visit him? He didn't understand that the love of God, it says, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels or principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want us to see this love. I want us to consider man as the psalmist did and think, man, if there is a star out there that's 100 times bigger than our sun, but God cares about me and thinks about me, that's amazing. And sometimes I think we lose sight of that. Philippians chapter 2. Why don't you take your Bibles there if you'd like to. Philippians chapter number 2. We've gone through Philippians this past year, and it's I've told you before, my favorite book of the Bible is usually the one I'm studying, but my favorite book of the Bible, I believe, is the book of Philippians, and once again, going through it was such an encouragement. But in Philippians, it gives you a picture, an idea. Some people think, hey, coming to this earth was nice. It was wonderful. Glad Jesus did it for me. But what was really the heartache? But you consider here in Philippians chapter number 2, and it says in verse number 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the type of mind we want you to have. The mind that Christ had. And now, remember, put this in consideration. The reason why he did these things were just specks of dust that were on this earth. That's just a speck compared to the whole universe. That's who he did this for. Look not every man, on verse number 4, on his own things, but every man on the things of others. It's, that's truth that we heard, like we heard last night. We say we acknowledge that's truth. We even consider that as truth. But does it affect the way we live? And that's when he says, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, and we know this story, that he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was God. He was, the word became flesh, and that word was referring to Jesus Christ. But then he says, but made himself of no reputation. I know when we were talking about it in this past year, we talked about the most high exalted place in all of the universe, the right-hand throne of the Father. And he came, and you see how he humbles himself and humiliates himself. And the idea, he made himself of no reputation. He didn't ask to be born a king. He didn't ask. And that's what Christmas, the beautiful part of the Christmas story was, that he came without fanfare and the idea that humans were there worshiping him. Instead, he was made of no reputation. And then it continues on and took on the form of a servant. Not only did he come without a name, he was born to Mary and Joseph that were not well known. He was willing to take on the form of a servant. He didn't take on the role of a leader. He didn't take on the role of a king. He could have. And was made in the likeness of men. And he, as we talked about before, the creator became the creature. He was put into the womb. The creator was put into the womb of a creation. And then it continues on, and being found in the fashion of a man. So it was not only humbling enough that he made himself of no reputation, and he took on the form of a servant. He became as his creation. But being found as his creation, he humbled himself even farther. Then it keeps on going, as he says, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Not only did he say that, he surrendered his life and says, look, I'm willing to be obedient even unto death. And then it says, even to the death of the cross. He went from the most exalted place of all the universe all the way to the most humiliated place that I believe in all the universe. One spot to another spot. And he did it for specks in this universe because he loved us. It's an amazing thing. So how do we respond? We see what is man. We wonder why God is mindful towards him. But what should our responses be? And I truly believe that our response should be one of thanksgiving, thankfulness. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endure forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. So what should our response be? We should be thankful. And not just a passing by, oh, thanks for that. Living a life of thankfulness, living a life of gratitude, living a life understanding who we are and who God is. And we don't even understand why God would even consider us or be mindful to us if he's able to create this vast universe. But not only does he mindful of us, he actually came and visited us for our sins so we could go to heaven. I think we should be thankful. I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we only focus on those things that we don't have. We should never lose sight of the Christmas story. It's the greatest story ever told. God became man, and we should be thankful for that. I think we should take it a step farther. It's not just being thankful. We should be submissive. Submission should be our next response. We see thankfulness, but you think about it. The God of the universe became man, died for our sins, not because he had to, but because he loved us, and he demonstrates all this love towards us. What should our response be? Thank you, Lord. What is it you want me to do? Lord, whatever you say. Not only are you my creator, you're mindful of me. You love me. You care about me. You can make all things work together for good. I am nothing but just a speck on this earth. It's just a speck in this universe. And if you are God, which I believe that you are, God, whatever you ask is not too much. So often we lose this submission, we lose this thought process, and we stand, and instead of standing in awe of him, instead of fearing him, we miss what he's done because we forget it. The Bible says in Psalms 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. As I was considering this passage and considering how big the universe is compared to the world, compared to the 700 billion people here, it humbles me. It really does. I don't know if it humbles you or not, but it humbles me to consider all that. I stand in all of him. I can sit there and look at the stars and stand in all of that. I can stand in all his creation. I can stand in all of just how he's made humans and how such intricate type. He's amazing God. But if I stand in all of him, that despite all that I've done wrong, and despite how much that I failed him, and that he still loves me, you just take, and he's like, that's amazing. So when we take time, as Mary did yesterday, to worship, we're going to be willing to submit also. Not only thankful, being thankful and also submitting, but last but not least, I feel like we should worship him too. We should lift him up. We should reverence him. We should adore him. We learned last night the word worship means reverence or adoration. It talks about a feeling or expression for a deity specifically. To adore means to love and respect deeply someone or some things. And I want to encourage you today, like we talked about last night, those verses, the Father seeketh such to worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Earlier in that passage says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is looking for those that will remember him and see who he is and worship him in spirit and in truth. That lady at the well says, look, we worship over here and this is what we do and this is what we do that. He says, you don't even know what you worship. He says, there's many people out there doing things in the name of God and doing it in the name of worship that do not recognize who God is and want to actually reverence him. It is crazy what some people do in the name of worship, which means to reverence and to adore a God. They do sinful acts. They do fleshly acts. They do worldly acts and saying, oh, we're worshiping the Lord. But when we stand in awe of him and we remember who he is and that we don't even understand why such a great God would even think about me. And not only would he not just think about me, that he would come to this world. We should stand in awe of him. We should adore him. We should reverence whatever he asks, and we should be thankful and do nothing but say, Lord, whatever it is you want, I'm willing to do. So I want to encourage you this morning. You know, as we consider Christmas, man, there are so much cool things about Christmas. I have some family here. I enjoyed celebrating and doing things with them and spending time with them, but I never want to lose sight of what the Christmas season is about. Came. Okay, that's cool. He came. Let's sing some songs. It's not just that he came. He was God that should not even be mindful or even think about us because of who we are and what we've done. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was tortured for us. He came for that. So it's just more than he came. Consider who we are and consider it was that who that came for us. And I think the only admirable thing we'd do is say thank you. And not just say thank you with our mouths, but to show our appreciation and thanks with our lives by submitting. And not just show that appreciation by submitting, but using that submitted life as one of worship, saying, I'm going to reverence what God has asked me to do. And when you put it all this way, of course that's what we're supposed to do. How come we don't do it? Because we're flesh. We're prideful. We have the sin nature that tells us, I'm supposed to have this, I'm supposed to do that. And that's what the world would tell you. You're entitled to this, you're entitled to that. God created us. In the beginning, there was no world. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When there was no light, he said, let there be light. And guess what happened? There was light. And with all those things that happened and all those different creations and in the fall of man in the garden and the sin that has passed down and the world gets worse and worse and worse, but they worship God less and less and less because we don't take time to consider the great creation and the great creator and say, I don't even know why he cares about me, but I'm thankful he does. And if he does care about me, I want to do exactly what he wants me to do because he's God. Not only do I want to do exactly what he wants me to do, I want my soul to magnify the Lord, like Mary talked about last night. She's like, I want my life, my inner part of me, to magnify the Lord. Not to magnify myself, not to magnify this or magnify that. I want my life to demonstrate and to reflect and just make God look big to others. That's what worship is. It's the goal of worship, for people to see the Lord and to praise him for the wonderful works he's done in your heart and life, because you couldn't have done it on your own. Today, what is man? Man is something that God loves. Let us never forget who we are and who he is. Don't even know why he's mindful of us, but he is. Don't even understand why he would ever come, but he did. He didn't just come. He came of no reputation. He humbled himself as a form of a servant. He became obedient to death. He went from the highest spot to the lowest spot for us. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. It means so much to so many people. It means so many different things to so many people. And Lord, as we take this passage and we consider, we've talked about the wise men this week. We talked about Zacharias. We talked about Elizabeth. They seemed like they understood who God was and they wanted to give their lives to God. We talked about Mary and Joseph's response. And Lord, last night we looked at how there was worship that happened when we focused on you. And that's what I believe in this psalmist is saying. When we focus on you and when we give a clear heart to see you and to believe in you, we'll all come to this this realization. Why in the world do you even care about me? But boy, I am so thankful that you do. And Lord, if you, as the creator, I want to do whatever you is that you want me to do. And Lord, I want my life to magnify you and worship you. So as we get ready to spend the rest of the day, I'm sure with family and doing activities, Lord, help us never lose sight of the fact that we don't even deserve your thoughts or your love, but you demonstrate it so much more to us. Help us to be thankful and submissive and desire to worship. In Jesus' name, amen.